A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. As people were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell a parable. Because it was near Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power for himself and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, do business with these until I come back. But the citizens of his country hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to rule over us. When he returned, having received royal power, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be summoned so that he might find out what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, Lord, your pound has made 10 more pounds. He said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small thing, take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came, saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. He said to him, and you, rule over 5 cities. Then the other came, saying, Lord, here is your pound. I wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a harsh man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow? Why then did you not put my money into the bank? Then when I returned, I could have collected it with interest. He said to the bystanders, take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. I tell you, to all those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I have a good friend from our parish here who's a dear member, one of the oldest members of the parish here in Denver, Colorado. And she likes to go to casinos and play cards occasionally. For her 95th birthday, some friends gave her $95 worth of casino chips so that she could go celebrate at the casinos. Now, these chips are like currency inside the casino, you know, and just like plastic poker chips, their value depends on the color and the design, etc. Some casinos even have chips with radio frequency identification, so they control and know exactly that this is a chip from this casino. Well, anyway, at the end of the day, or whenever you want to quit the game, I understand that you can just cash in your chips for real money. Or you might even take them home and come back on some other day to play again at the same casino. Well, eventually, you see, you will want to use or cash in your chips, since they are useless, you know, in the currency, except back at the casino to which they belong. Well, the parable we just heard reminded me of cashing in our chips. It's the parable of the pounds, as they often call it. Even though I've never actually been to a casino, you know, and I've never had one of these chips in my hands, I've heard enough about them here in Colorado with all of the casinos we have in the mountains here. A lot of folks go up to play and gamble. So this parable, as I say, it made me think about the importance of how to use these coins and cashing in our chips. 10 servants each got 1 pound from this nobleman, who later came back, after he was made king, to have them cash in their chips. It was a test, you see, to find out if they could be responsible or not. And if so, then they were given greater responsibility in his kingdom, like in charge of several cities. Even though, it's strange, the coin, the pound, was considered worth only about $20. Even that was several days of pay in Jesus' day. But to, you know, have a coin worth a few dollars give you responsibility for huge, you know, cities, that would be a really remarkable reward. Well, it seems that Jesus told this parable in Jericho on the last leg of his journey to Jerusalem. It seems that a lot of his followers were getting very anxious and excited, thinking that it was going to be soon the arrival of the Messiah in Jerusalem, the beginning of the true reign of God that they understood as, in the Jewish traditions, Messiah. But the parable complicates their view of things. Jesus tells them this unusual story, which is not exactly what they were thinking, probably, not so immediate a reign of God after all, and not the kind of victory that they were expecting. The nobleman in the parable is going to leave to receive his kingship and give everyone a task or a challenge while he's gone. Do something responsible with the coin. He'll be back to collect it later. Sounds like the kingdom is not, after all, coming as quickly as they thought, if Jesus is going to leave as he does. That's not what they were expecting. Moreover, some of the citizens in this story are enemies of the king, as they are in Jesus' life. In fact, they will kill Jesus in Jerusalem, unbeknownst to all of these followers. And one servant is so obstinate and lazy that he does nothing with his coin except hide it. In fact, perhaps thinking like the rest of the crowd that the Messiah is almost here anyway, why go to work? Why do anything with it? No need to even act. Or perhaps he was thinking, actually, if the king's leaving, he won't be back for a long time, so I could procrastinate and dilly-dally, and in the story, he does nothing. There's no rush. Already we can imagine that the listeners of this parable in Jericho might have been a bit perplexed, especially with their high expectations of marching into Jerusalem. Big disappointment that Jesus did not support the idea that the Messiah was coming right now, as they expected. And they all would be more or less wiped out or finished, and no one would ever have to do anything again, as they were probably thinking. They would just wait, you know, for the kingdom of God, kind of lazy about it. Well, the surprise, like most parables, is that they're always full of surprises, you know, and this one is no different. It turns out that you do have to do something now. You can't just wait. You'll have to cash in your chips someday, and it will be kind of a measurement of how you live in the time now, before the coming of Christ again. It's not just a game of gambling with chips, actually, you see. It's the very game of life itself. We love that expression that, you know, cashing in our chips, you know. And it's interesting that, in fact, we often refer to our deaths as having to cash in our chips. People say that. Like poor old Joe, he was so sick that he just couldn't go anymore, you know, and he just had to cash in his chips, and it's over. He died. It's a good warning if we look at it that way, if we see this parable as a call for us today as Christians who are in this game of life, we have to be responsible with the life, or the coin, as you see, with the life we have been given. sometimes sooner than we think, we have to cash in our chips. It could be tonight, tomorrow. Sometimes it's much later than we expected. My friend's now 96 years old. She didn't think she would ever live that long. And she's still gambling. But we will all have to cash in all our chips in life. And it's a good idea to play the game of life wisely, in a Christian way, according to the ways of our teacher, Christ the Lord.